Thanks for listening to Two Girls, One Plant.
We're your hosts, Madison
and Jillian, and this week we're talking some
wet-ass plants. We got the WAP, y'all. Sorry, we're like really giggly today.
Oh my goodness.
Which is like a good thing, I guess.
That's great.
Hi.
Hi.
We've just been laughing for like the last 15 minutes trying to get this episode set up. So it's going to be a good episode.
Okay. But like, here's the thing. We're talking about water,
right?
Which is a bigger topic than you would think. It's important, you guys. Yes. It makes a big difference to your plants. Okay. All seriousness aside. Ready?
Yes. Go do it.
Water. 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 Ago,
water.
Why is that so funny every time?
If you know, it's on TikTok. And every time, like, I cry laughing every time I see anybody use that TikTok sound. Oh, that's so good. We have some fun sound bites too. That's why we've been laughing. But yeah, we're talking about water. We've been trying to like do this episode. I think we wanted to do it last season, but I think we did fertilizer and dirt, and like we just kind of were like, let's do water later.
Yeah, kind of break it up with like fun stuff and interviews and all the other episodes we had going on.
Yeah, so this, like, we're really going to be going in. We're going to talk about all the different types of water. We're going to debunk some myths surrounding water. We're going to talk about how to water, really great resources. We are going to talk about the privilege that is water and how it like is a human right. So we're going to talk in all about it, but first,
hey ladies and men and all our non-binary friends, join our Two Girls One Plant community on Patreon. Become a monthly supporter of our podcast with one of our three different tiers. The first is our plant stand tier, which includes a shout out and the password to our private Facebook community. The plant BFF tier includes a first peek at new episodes, releases of merch, and more one-on-one time with us. And the VIPP, very important plant person tier, includes a code for 15% off merch to use anytime. Get to vote and come up with new episodes and more behind the scenes content exclusive to Patreon. We appreciate all your support and look forward to having it on Patreon.
But first, it's catch-up time.
Yeah.
So, what's new, Jillian?
Oh my gosh, I just cleaned my whole house today. Which is crazy.
It looks really good.
Oh my God. You know, the best part, I was sitting on the couch with Alex and I was like, after cleaning everything out, I found a lot more space for new plants.
Isn't that the best?
Oh my God. That's what I told him. I was like, it's the best
part
of cleaning.
What did he say?
He looked at me like I was fucking nuts and had a plague. Like I was an addict with an itch. But like, I was so excited.
You guys did a really good job today.
Thanks. Yeah. Studio's next. We're going to make this space look bomb. Yeah. We're almost there.
Yeah. But we want to get like a couch. We were talking about, we want to get like a couch and like an accent chair and then like a little coffee table and then like a desk.
Yeah. That way you can like watch us on YouTube and it feels more like a conversation.
Yeah. Because right now we're just sitting at the table, which is fine. Like this is a great space, but we want to like have it be more chill.
Yeah. And more video friendly.
For sure. Yeah, I feel like the video, like, it's good. But, like, again, we only really started doing video for, like, the closed captions reasons. But I think it's time for us to kind of, like, step it up here in the near future. So it's definitely a goal of ours.
So cleaning all this shit out so we can get there.
You got, like, all the dirt, too. Like, I feel like I'm, like, similar where you just have dirt everywhere, like
all over the place.
Like some point I'm just like, fuck it, like I'm not gonna worry about it. It's because it's gonna be there 5 minutes later.
Well, that's what I always tell Alex, and he was like, no, we need to like really clean this place out.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was good. I like moved tables and pots and all the bullshit,
got rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Helping some plants that like haven't had attention in a long time.
I love that. I love doing that.
It's good. I have a cast iron plant by the door that like, God bless her heart, is holding on, but it is one crispy bitch. Like I just don't water her enough,
right?
So I gave her like a really good soak, pruned her leaves, leaves. Yeah. Made a promise that I was going to take better care of her.
I like that. That's cute.
I had to do it.
That's cute.
How about you? How's your week been?
It's been good. I bought some Hawaiian snow bushes. So, you know, those like in the terrarium kind of area of the store where it's like tiny plants.
Yeah. Don't they have tiny little softly like papery leaves?
Very tiny, very fragile and delicate. It's almost like you have to whisper to it.
Yeah. But she likes a lot of sun, doesn't she?
Yeah. So I bought 3 of them. So I'm going to pot them all up together. Ooh. And I'm going to see how it does in the grow light. I think it would be fine because I have a lot of delicate leaves similar to her texture.
Okay.
Under the grow light. So I think with my theory, it will be okay in the grow light and we'll get enough light. I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then I got a rabbit's foot fern from you. You saved the day because I was like, I don't want to stand in fucking line at Reboot because I actually had a place to be. I had to like be somewhere. Really, it was just me picking up food at a certain time.
Hey, but food's important. I think we all know that.
But like, I texted Julian. I was like, I just want a rabbit's foot fern. Like, if you have one, can you just like bring it out to me?
And I literally had one left.
Yeah. So I was like, help a girl out. And she like saved the fucking day. So yeah, so those are new plants I got and they're doing great so far. So I did want to talk about real quick before we fully get into water. I wanted to tell a little story about some like happy good feelings of like people I've met out in the wild, like plant friends.
Okay.
And it all happened today. So Brittany, Botanical Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
So love her. She was pregnant all year last year and she just had her baby.
Mm.
And she lost a lot of her plants during her pregnancy. She had a really hard pregnancy and, you know, we're all different in what we experience through pregnancy as women. And
plants aren't the priority like you totally and your baby not. Are.
But I know like she's an avid collector and she posted a wish list and one of them was a white knight. So that white knight I still have it for our giveaway winner, but it's grown so much. I was like, I'm just going to take a little cutting from you. And it was like a 3-leaf cutting. And I gave it to Brittany and I told her, I was like, you don't really have to give me money. I was like, it's really fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't even know what to ask for it. And she's like, well, I'll just make you a bunch of pottery. So she made a ton of ceramics and pots and like an incense burner. I know.
That's so sweet.
I know. So
wait, isn't she like, is it green sea ceramic? That is so sweet of her.
Yeah, she's, So we went to Nick's and we like shopped together and like kind of caught up and it was really nice seeing her. So then I went to Lowe's and to get weather stripping for my cabinets. And I was just kind of walking around and I must look like so confused because I was just gonna go in like a circle and just try and find it. And this girl walked up to me and was like, hey, do you need some help? And I was like, yes, please help me, please. Weather stripping. She's like, yeah, it's over here. She's like, what are you weather stripping? A door? And I was like, well, kind of. I needed weather stripping for like a cabinet. She's like, oh, like what kind of cabinet? I was like, oh, it's like a humidity control cabinet for plants. And she's like, oh, I collect tropicals too. And I was like, oh, do you really? She's like, yeah. And I was like, that's awesome. And she was like, I just got a pink princess. I was like, oh, who'd you get a pink princess from? She's like, well, I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but I got it from the Colorado Plant Pals Facebook group. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I met a friend through there and we just traded cuttings. And I was like, I actually know the admin of the group. I'm going to go see her later today. And she's like, oh, that's awesome. And I was like, no, you're awesome. Like, it's so, I was like, thank you for all your help. And she like was like, this is really good. I don't know. She probably doesn't listen to the podcast, but like you
shout
were
out to the girl at Home Depot. That was super helpful.
She was so incredibly nice and like just so wholesome and just so kind and just patient with me. And like, just, I love that she was just so like willing to share. And it just really made me miss friends in the community and making friends. And I just was like, this is what it was about. This was like what we used to do all the time before like COVID days. And it just like made me really grateful for like the memory like beforehand, and it made me more excited for what's to come in the future. So it's so hard now though, but I don't know. It was like a feel good moment.
I love that.
I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to get really cheesy. Let's not be cheesy anymore. Let's get a big tall glass of water.
Oh yeah. Okay, wait, one more bit of cheese.
Oh yeah.
I do have to say.
But you got more cheese?
Just a little bit.
Okay, cool.
We have a new patron. And yes. We have to shout her out.
Oh, yes. Okay, do you want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay,
I want to make sure everybody hears it. You can't skip the end of it and not hear her name.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Lisa Curtis, who is our first patron. We absolutely love you and appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Again, we ask for people to go join our Patreon, but we are like, we don't want you to either because we're like, please don't. Like, you're so nice, but also like, wow, thank you. I don't know. It's like, I don't know how to feel about it. Just so grateful.
Yeah. It's like, just really grateful. Like, wow, you actually.
Yeah, you care.
Like, us and want us to keep doing what we do.
That's awesome. So yeah, thank you. And I know we talk with you on Instagram. So thank you so much. You're really, really cool.
Yeah.
You're amazing. So
yay.
Yeah. Feel good cheese.
Just a little more cheese. Okay. Now we can talk water. Let's fucking get into it.
Yeah. So little backstory real quick before we fully get into how do we use water and types of water. I want to talk about the human right regarding water. So there's places like Flint. There's places like in Texas currently right now. And there's countries around the world who don't have great access to water right now. So it's important to recognize our, obviously water is a human right, electricity, like all these things are basic human rights. And a lot of places don't have that privilege and that opportunity to have clean water. So we definitely recognize our privilege with that. And we know, again, a lot of people, I'll use this as an example. So like during the pandemic last year, when I was working at Whole Foods, water was like one of the first things to go. It was like water, toilet paper, and like some like flour. And that was like the big things that really we sold out of fast. And it was distilled water, like in those gallon jugs.
Yeah.
And my aunt has, I forget which type of cancer, but it basically, the chemotherapy has eaten through her whole nose. And thank God, like she just had surgery and it's really great. So she's on the road to recovery. She's been battling this for years and years, but she has to use room temperature distilled water to flush it and clean it. And she can't use tap water, and it has to be distilled. It can't be reverse osmosis. It can't be deionized. It can't be high pH. It has to be distilled. Otherwise, it gets really inflamed and infected. So during that time, I was really trying to discourage people from buying distilled water for their plants, because there are people who literally are so used to going to the store to buy distilled water and these types of waters for medical conditions, but now they don't have access to that for their medical needs. Right. So that was like really upsetting to see during that time. Cause like, again, working at Whole Foods, I mean, people just were buying just shitloads of stuff.
Of course, just hoarding it.
Hoarding it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that goes along with so many other aspects, and we could go into that in a whole other episode. But I just want to recognize that for a second and understand that tap water, and when we talk about water that is local, like a lot of our water is good.
It's honestly really, really, really great. In fact, in our county, we have really old pipes. Alex and I own a home in a really old neighborhood. And our county sent us a free water filter with cartridges. And we're like, hey, we found out that there's an issue with lead in your water. This will work, and tells you how long it'll work for. And we're going to get working on fixing the pipes. And they fixed the pipe within a year, I want to say, because it's already fixed now. That's even though great. We still use the filter they gave us. And there's a lot of privilege in that, knowing that cities like Flint, Michigan are having such a hard time correcting their issue.
How long has it been? It's been 5, 6, 7 years
now. Way too fucking long.
Yeah, I mean, still issues.
So yeah, we have to acknowledge that we're really privileged and not only have accessible drinking water, but have choices in what kind of water we want to use.
For sure. So again, we want to recognize it, but, you know, there's still options of, you know, stuff besides your tap, and we'll definitely get into that. But let's talk about what is in water and why plant parents especially are so concerned about using tap water and kind of understanding that background. So a lot of tap water has chlorine and is it chloramine or chloramine?
Chloramine?
Yeah, we'll go with chloramine. So this damages your roots and it kills off that really good bacteria, that really good fungus, that synergistic stuff that your plants really need and your roots really need.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be toxic to your more sensitive plants. It can have them get brown and black tips. It can even make them drop leaves. And then another big key component is fluoride. Fluoride is it's just in our tap water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in really small levels, but it can disrupt the photosynthesis and the respiration within our plants. So as it builds up its plant tissues, it can actually cause toxicity within it. The fluoride content varies significantly between the tap water sources. So what I might have in like our county, like might be totally different. And again, this is all going to range and we're going to give resources at the end, but they really add fluoride to help like with dental health too, is what I've heard.
Yeah. I think about Parks and Rec. I don't know if you've watched through it, but Jam, the dentist, has like a huge thing against the fluoride in the water.
Oh my gosh.
And so the Parks and Rec crew has to like jazz up fluoride water to help because everybody eats so much fucking sugar in that town.
Oh my gosh.
Councilwoman Leslie Knope wants to put fluoride, which is a chemical, into your drinking water. You know what else is a chemical? Strychnine and cyanide.
What?
And dirt and rust and even broken glass.
Exactly. You definitely understand what chemicals are, Pert. I would suggest if you want to contact the psychopath that wants to turn your kids into bad at math, communist fluoride zombies, well, just call the number at the bottom of your screen.
Leslie, no, stop right there. You know what? Fluoride protects your teeth and it's perfectly healthy for you.
Anyway, that's like the best example in pop culture of fucking fluoride in your water. But it is super duper common. And fluoride and small amounts of chlorine are good for us.
Mm-hmm.
They help with dental health. They help kill off any bacteria in the water, which is not why we're drinking it. So not part of what we want to consume.
Right.
So there's a reason that you find these things in our tap water.
Yeah.
But plants don't usually drink tap water. They don't need high levels of fluoride or chlorine. If anything, they need very trace amounts. So it's very easy to overdo it with our tap water.
For sure. And there's places, not everywhere, but most places have a really small trace of chlorine and fluoride where your plant's not really going to see the effect. And we'll get into that a little bit more when we talk more about tap water. Heavy metals, too, are also found. And it can really reduce like your plant growth and they can also deteriorate. So those can be found in your tap water. So like a really great example is what Jillian was saying earlier, lead. Lead is a heavy metal and lead is really fucking dangerous. We all know lead fucking sucks, especially in older homes, older neighborhoods. Lead piping was a thing. So it totally makes sense why we would want to be concerned about this. But those are just like some little what's going on in our water and at least in our tap water here in the U.S. especially. And when we talk more about like our water, we're really referring to Denver.
Yeah.
So
to be fair, that again, Rocky Mountain water.
Yes. So again, we'll give resources at the end how you can find out about how your water's doing. But let's debunk something here.
We have to.
Let's talk about this.
I hear about this all the time. Everybody is like, oh, well, I don't really understand why my Calathea has these brown tips. I set my water out before I water her.
Yeah.
Really, really, really common to do that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not having the effect that you think it does. First off, the truth is there isn't enough chlorine in your tap water to negatively affect most of your plants. So when we're talking about setting out your water or needing to get distilled water, we're only talking about some plants that are sensitive, like spider plants or Calathea anyway. And most plants like tepid water that's been sitting out. So letting it sit at room temperature is honestly great. However, and I love this note that you added because you have like a shit ton of plants. It would be totally unreasonable for you to set out water overnight to water all of your plants.
I would have to like fill my bathtub and let my bath water set overnight. And then maybe, because I've tried to think about it, I'm like, hey, how could I do this? But like, I would need to buy, if I didn't have a bath, if I like in our second bathroom is a standing shower, what would I do? Buy like 80 pails of fucking watering cans? And no.
No, like, just have those Home Depot buckets all over your house.
Like I could get like if you had like a few plants, but for somebody like me who has a shit ton of plants, I go to the sink probably like 15 to 20 times to fill up my watering can when on watering days.
Yep.
So yeah, no, it's not a thing for me as a plant parent. I'm not gonna set water out.
Pretty unrealistic if you have that many.
Yep.
And secondly, the truth is the only thing really evaporating off is water.
Mm-hmm.
So things like chloramine, which we had mentioned earlier, aren't actually evaporating at all. and in fact are getting slightly more concentrated because of the water that's evaporating off.
Yep.
So it's not actually helping at all.
Yeah. So municipal started adding chloramine. Not super recent. It's been around a while, but chlorine was always like the thing to like really filter and clean water. But since they started, because it would evaporate like over time, but chloramine does not evaporate, like Jillian said. So you're just letting like that chlorine, sure, maybe evaporate a little, but that chloramine is still in your water.
So it used to work letting it sit out then, and it just doesn't work anymore with the chloramine. That's interesting.
Nope. And like Jillian said, like it's such little amounts that the chlorine isn't like poof out of your watering can. Like,
no.
And it concentrates. And I've heard of people like boiling water too. Like, have you heard that? It's like, if I boil my water and then bring it down to room temp. Yeah, it's like concentrating those minerals and those chemicals and all those harsh things in the water more.
Yeah.
So sorry. I mean, if you want it to be room temperature cool, like let it sit out. But I don't know. I feel like when I fill my water up at the sink, I have it perfectly positioned on the knob of the sink, like what's perfectly like well tepid water for
That's
me.
That's funny.
I like know exactly the angle. So it like comes out perfect every time.
Hey.
Hey. So yeah, sorry to burst everyone's water bubble, but let's talk more about tap though, since we're kind of on the subject. We're going to get into the types of water. There's a lot.
There are a few different types of water.
And we see these all the time online and people talking about them in like chats and forums and everything. So let's talk more about tap water. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, totally. I mean, tap and city water are designed for us and for all the residents in each of these cities that are drinking it. So it's really common for them to add chemicals and minerals that are beneficial for us, like fluoride, salts, and chlorine. But as we said, not great for your plants.
Yeah.
So while many, if not most of your plants can thrive on plain old tap water, it's not necessarily the best choice for optimum plant growth, especially if you have really hard water.
Yeah. It's the hard water that I think really makes a difference. Like, I don't have hard water, so I don't get the results from my tap that would cause brown tips on my plants.
I mean, that's good to know, especially if you can test it.
Yeah.
And like, if you live in a hard water area, it's easy to tell because there will be a lot of limescale deposits, mineral deposits on pipes, appliances, things like your water kettle, your faucet. You'll literally see that build up over time. And a lot of people will also see that on their pottery, like on their terracotta pottery.
Oh yeah, the petunia. Or no, right, yeah.
I don't know what it's called, honest.
Wait, what is it called?
But it's literally like a mineral buildup.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And these buildups mostly comprise of like calcium and magnesium carbonates, bicarbonates, and sulfites. These minerals will result in the accumulation of calcium and magnesium salts in the soil and on the sides of pots. Aha, that's what I just said. And although these deposits are usually harmless, they can build up in your soil over time, which will, of course, negatively affect the nutrients and pH of the soil and the health of your plant overall.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can build up, so you can do like a soil flush. So if you only have access to hard water, you don't have the means to go buy distilled or anything else we're going to talk about, you can flush your plants and your soil probably every 1 to 2 months. So that's when you can actually, if you can't afford it, buying distilled or some type of water and then go around and you can flush all that stuff out of the soil. It works. It's a good, just like quick thing to do. That way you don't have to change out the soil as often, but there's other little hacks too you can do, and we'll get more into that. So tap water. So cool. Awesome. I don't think there's anything wrong with using tap water. Again,
all of my plants get tap water.
Check your water, but I'm a tap water user.
I have always said that if a plant needs better water than I do, it's not a plant for me.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I agree. Next one is distilled. So along with rainwater, which we'll cover a little bit later, the Water Quality Association states that distilled waters are best for plants since they do not contain harmful minerals or chemicals. So the water is a type of highly purified water that is free of all these like icky things we don't want in our water. So again, kind of like what we were talking about earlier with like chlorine, chloramine, fluoride, not in there. So it's water that's boiled to create like a vapor or like steam, and then it's caught on like a lid or like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, yeah, have you ever seen like gone to a distillery or like seen that? That's basically what it is. But it catches like that condensation, and that condensation is that distilled water.
Yeah, it's just pure water molecules that they collect. Pure water.
Mm-hmm. So it removes everything, like I said. And then if you're growing hydroponically, so folks in like LECA or anything like that, you might see a deficiency in magnesium and calcium. Because again, it's completely purified. So it's taking out all the bad stuff, which is great, but it's also taking out all the good stuff as well. So you are going to need to supplement that a little bit more. And that's going to be the case for a lot of these waters that we talk about too, that are a little bit more purified. But just a reminder, try and get your calcium and your magnesium. And you can find a lot of these too in like fertilizers. It's like that mm-hmm. small amount that you can easily add. So, but distilled water is a really great option. I know that I was using distilled water for a little bit on my carnivorous plants. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. They were fine, but I was like, I'm just going to try tap water because I'm out of distilled and I don't feel like buying it. And I kept forgetting. So I just kept doing it and they're fine.
That's funny. Really?
They're totally fine.
Oh, well, there you go.
They sit in a saucer dish and I just fill up the water every few days and they just soak it up. And I'm like,
okay, well, fine.
Like the mine actually like it. I was surprised. I was really expecting them to die, but I don't know.
That's great. Honestly, that's what people usually recommend distilled water for, is like your carnivorous plants.
Yeah.
And then some plants that are like known for being sensitive.
Yeah. I think like if I were to get, because I don't have any Calathea. So I think if I were to buy a Calathea, I don't know how soon that will be. But I think if I were to buy one, I would maybe want to try it with just distilled for a little bit, maybe to help acclimate it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is too. Maybe it is just during your acclimation period in your new home, like it's not used to the new lighting and your environment. So maybe that could also play into it a little bit too, because it will get used to the water.
I was going to say, I've definitely heard of Calatheas that have adapted and do just mm-hmm. fine with tap water now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every plant is different. And really similar to distilled water is reverse osmosis water. In fact, a lot of people kind of confuse them. They are slightly different, but the reverse osmosis water is widely considered to be like the most common and effective for true water purification. It was originally developed for desalinating seawater, actually, to make it drinkable. Mm-hmm. But the process has been used for decades in both domestic and commercial water filtration applications. So reverse osmosis essentially uses water pressure to push the water molecules through a membrane. And like this semi-permeable membrane is approximately the thickness of cellophane.
It's really tiny.
So it only allows the water molecules to pass through and separates out any solid contaminants or impurities. And those impurities can then be flushed away, leaving like the closest pure, clean drinking water mm-hmm. you can get. In the very unlikely scenario where reverse osmosis water is the only water available in your home for your houseplants, just, you know, in case.
I have reverse osmosis. What? Surprise Pikachu face.
I know, right? So if you're using reverse osmosis water, just make sure, just like with distilled water, that you're making up for that lack of nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to make sure that you add in extra feed product or fertilizer, especially something containing nitrogen, but a whole host of other essential minerals that they use. Because otherwise, over time, you're definitely going to see that deficiency and your plant's going to get sickly or even die. So purified water can be great for humans and pet survival and good health, but it may not be great for most of your plants.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's like you were saying, it's very similar to distilled. It's losing all those great nutrients as well as the bad ones, you know, so get a good supplement. She'll be fine. That way you also don't have to worry about the bad stuff too. Have you looked into a filtration center, a system for reverse osmosis?
It's like a few hundred dollars, isn't it? Like $300 or $400, $500.
She's expensive. Yeah. I was like, James, we are going to get a reverse osmosis system put into our apartment complex sink. And he was like, the fuck, I think not.
Look, you know what? Some people like breed carnivorous plants or have a collection of Calathea that are super rare. Like, you know what? you probably want to buy
that a reverse totally osmosis makes sense.
System because it's just unreasonable to go buy
yeah.
distilled water. But
yeah.
if you are Joe Schmo, like me and Madison, who just have like your run-of-the-mill plant collections yeah. that are fine with tap water,
yeah,
there's no, it's like a few $100s.
Yeah.
Like I've told people at the store, like go buy a gallon of distilled water and refill it every week if you have a couple of plants that need it.
Well, and on that note, you don't have to buy a system. So we actually at Whole Foods, we have a water filling station and we sell reverse osmosis, high pH, which do not use on your water or on your plants. And then also deionize, which we're going to talk about, but it's 39 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
It's so cheap. So if you get like one of those big 5 gallon jugs.
And you just reuse it every
just
week.
Just reuse it. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's not too bad. Okay. But wait, you guys do sell deionized water too?
Yeah.
That's something I never really heard of. So walk us through what that is.
Yeah. So it's kind of similar to reverse osmosis. So for the process, it's removing the ions. So the ions are the charged non-organic particles from water. So again, charged non-organic particles from water. So it's basically removing that from that water molecule. The water should be filtered first to remove organic material, and additional filtering with reverse osmosis system will remove a significant number of additional contaminants. So for like us at Whole Foods, since we sell like deionized, yes, it's removing that ion, but there is also a filtration process put in place as well. So you're okay. not going to have that organic material in the water as well.
So it's actually like the deionization is like the second or third step in cleaning that water.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's just like really just that almost. And then there's like further. It's
just over the top. Pretty much. Clean.
And you know what? They do taste different. I tried them. It tastes completely different.
Interesting.
You know how everybody's like, there's no taste to water. I'm like, yeah, bitch, there fucking
is. Oh, no,
is.
There is. Have you ever been to fucking Manitou Springs?
Oh, my God,
anybody
yes.
that's been to Manitou Springs know that there's a different taste.
Oh, my God,
to different
yeah.
waters.
It's like very sulfury.
Yeah, they all have like a slightly different taste.
A little off.
Yeah,
a little, like,
if you ever
want
to do a weird water tour.
Spicy water,
and
that's
you're in
what
Colorado.
It is.
Yeah, spicy water. So deionization is the complete opposite of all that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Removing all of those minerals that
all
give
it
those tastes, like sodium, iron, calcium, copper, chloride, sulfates, it's all removed. So it tastes super clean and pure.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's like a water bottle company that does deionize. I'm not really aware of.
I don't know either.
We are going to talk about bottled water though here in a second. But that's deionized. So let's talk about one of our favorites.
Love it.
Fish
Love
water.
Dirty fish water.
Poop
it's great.
Water. What?
Ugh. Okay, here's the thing. It's like gross for fish, right? Obviously, it's really mm-hmm. bad for them. They don't want to swim in their own shit. It causes all kinds of health problems. But it's full of beneficial bacteria.
Whoa.
Like potassium, phosphorus, nitrogen, all kinds of trace nutrients that are fantastic for your plants.
Yeah.
So for a long time, that's what I was using to water most of my plants. And they freaking love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because you were getting it from someone on Facebook, right, who was just giving away fish water?
No, dude, I had a hydroponic setup that I had gotten for free on the marketplace.
Oh, yes.
And it was actually really simple. It was basically just a 20-gallon tank,
mm-hmm.
a pump, and then a bed on top that mm-hmm. was filled with LECA.
Okay.
And if you turned on the pump, it would just pull water from the tank up into the bed and then filter back out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it was watering all of those plants with just the fish water. It's great.
That's awesome.
Ugh, they loved it.
But there are people online who like
totally.
Sell or just give away their fish water.
Because they have to clean their tanks anyway. And especially if they're plant people, they know.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to really give away their fish water. They're going to
no.
keep it for themselves.
I mean, seriously, or they're going to sell it. They're going to be like, hey, I'll sell it to you for $6.
Yeah,
you just,
I think that's a great idea.
It's free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so good for your plants.
So good. Because you fertilize, we both fertilize with fish poop.
Yeah.
And like kelp
and
stuff.
Thing.
It's the same thing, but a little bit more, organic, more like sushi. Not to really use like, I know we're talking about fish, but like it's so fresh off the boat. Like your fish could have literally taken a shit in the water and you're like scooping it up. You're like, this is some fresh fucking shit.
Seriously, though. And your plants are like eating it up. Like, yeah, give it to me.
They love it.
They love it.
They love it, dude. I need to find somebody. I need to find a fish shit person. You know how like some people have like those people in their lives and you're like, oh, my dealer. It's like, no, I need to go see my fish shit person.
Yeah, man, you need a fish shit hookup. Everybody needs a fish shit hookup in their life.
Please hit me up if you're a fish shit person.
Oh, we're going to get so many weird DMs.
Oh, my God. I would love. I know. I always ask for people to hit me up and I'm like, I'm waiting. I'm wanting it.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about filtered. So you have a little filtering jug thing.
Yeah, literally just like a little water filter in the fridge. Yeah. You just like pop out, you fill it in the sink, it runs through the filter, and you drink with it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of refrigerators have that same kind of filtration system set up in them.
Yeah, too. Like nice fridges. Yeah. Like, I'm in a house from the 60s. So right. We don't have that. But yeah, same thing.
But we want to tell you, kind of focus on the Brita filters just because I feel like I see that the most.
They're pretty standard.
In the groups, online, when people are talking about filtered water, they all kind of act the same. But let's just focus on one. That way you kind of know a little bit more about this specific one. Because again, they all vary. The first layering of the filtration happens when the water goes through. It's like a mesh screen. And it captures like stuff like lead and asbestos.
Yikes.
Yucky, gross, nasty. Then that water passes through an activated carbon filter. And that helps remove chemicals like chlorine, benzene, and mercury. Gross. So it won't be able to filter out minerals and salts that you may find in hard water. And if you live in an area that gets hard water, you need to use distilled water that will remove such minerals and salts. So again, the filtering removes the chlorine, the benzene, all those like harsh things that are like bad for us. But again, our plants don't like harsh salts. So filtered is not really removing the salt. It's kind of like leaving it in there and can kind of be a little bit more concentrated if that's what it's really leaving in there. And again, what we kind of talked about earlier was if you don't have a hard water area, there's not a lot of traces of chlorine or chloramine in your water anyway. So whether it's taken in or out is like not the end of the world for your plants, but it's those salts. That's the part that is really built up. So if you're going to use filtered, great, go for it. But I would still do the flushing system, like I mentioned before.
At least every few weeks or so. Like you'll definitely want to make sure to clean it out every once in a while.
Yeah.
And you keep mentioning, like we keep mentioning hard waters.
Yeah.
So let's talk about softened water. Yeah,
this is very interesting.
It is, because I didn't actually know this was a huge thing. But it's essentially when people take those hard waters that are really high in minerals and soften them essentially with sodium carbonate. So the excess sodium concentration in soft water is not really good for your plants. Mm-mm. In fact, it can stunt your plant's growth. And if you're watering your plants outside, the softened water could eventually kill the nearby grass over time. Yikes. Which is pretty terrible. So essentially they take water softeners to replace troublesome calcium and magnesium ions in hard water with sodium or potassium ions, mm-hmm. which can eliminate the problem of lime scale buildup on your pipes and appliances, and is perfectly safe to drink, but is still pretty hard on your plants. Doesn't really help your plants any. So the high salt levels are eventually going to fuck up their health.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to want to use rainwater, filtered water, distilled water, something a little more suited to your plants, even if your hardened water is being softened by the city.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like there's systems for softening water too, if you have hard water. So that's available if you do live in a hard water area. You can have that installed in your sink. And I was looking at them. They're not super expensive, like maybe $100 to $200.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty good investment if you live in a hard water area. But like you said, there's a lot of salt and sodium leftover, and that is going to kill your plants. Like, it is not good for your plants. It's good for you to drink. It is not good for your plants. So I would just avoid the softener altogether. It is not good.
As a plant person.
Do not
the move.
Don't do it.
Okay.
However, I keep seeing this too online, and it's conditioner. So it's like the stuff you add for like your fish water.
Yeah.
To kind of like help balance it all out, help the pH, help with the minerals, all the chemicals. So it makes it safe for your fishies to live in. So that's a water conditioner. And it sounds like it would be similar to soft water, but there is a difference. So the difference between a water softener and a water conditioner is that the conditioner will alter hard water minerals, but doesn't remove them. So it changes them, but doesn't remove them. A water conditioner will reduce scale, but a water softener will eliminate scale from calcium and magnesium by using salt in the regeneration cycle. So conditioner water is changing it and is actually a lot better and is safe to use in your plants.
Okay.
So that is fine to use.
Cool, because it's actually altering the minerals completely.
Correct. So you can buy, there is a conditioner system as well you can buy. I forget how much I saw it for. Or you can go and you can buy like the stuff in the fish aisle.
Yeah.
And that's what you can actually add.
Funny.
And you can use that for watering your plants as well.
Hey, if it works, it works.
So it's maybe a... If you have, again, a hard water area, this might be a good alternative to use. And like that kind of stuff is relatively really inexpensive.
Well, you're using like a couple of drops a watering can. Yeah. So it's just very concentrated. And that means you don't have to go out to the store to buy distilled water if you need to.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice if you do need something like that.
I think it's a really good hack. It's something I think... our communities of fish community and plant community with our powers combined. Everything will be healthy and survive, which I kind of love.
Oh, love it.
Let's talk. You want to talk about one of the best one, in my opinion?
Yeah, honestly, it is. So rainwater is a great choice for watering your plants. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all plants receive rainwater in their natural habitats, which is lovely. And you can collect the rainwater that you literally get at your house, like when it rains, just put out a bucket or a rain barrel, collect it, and then use that for all of your indoor plants, your gardens, your potted plants, all that good stuff. Obviously, if you want to do this on a large scale, you do want to purchase a rain collection barrel. I'm not really sure how much they run. I don't think it's that crazy, but they're pretty big.
Yeah, they're
they
huge.
Collect quite a lot of water, and most of them will come with a hose attachment, so you can water large areas really easily. I will say if you choose to do this, just double check that it's legal in your area. Sounds super silly, but for some god-awful reason, it's illegal to collect rainwater in some counties. So
it's
just double check.
So stupid. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. This is like the one law and regulation that is such bullshit in my mind that we as humans, again, water is a basic human right. We have a right to water. How is it that we can't collect water in a rain barrel? But like, do you know what I mean? It just doesn't
absolutely. It doesn't make any sense at all. It seems so asinine.
Like, it's so ass backwards. Like, yes, there are some issues, and people, if you don't do it right, you can get sick. So like leaving your water out and not, if you leave it, let's say, uncovered, it can attract mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. If you catch the water running off your roof, like there's bird shit on your roof.
Right.
So that can make you very, very sick. And I can see why they would regulate that. But also at the same
time, it's illegal.
It's illegal. Like that makes no fucking sense. Like we should have the right. It's on our land. We should be able to collect it. Oh, it's so annoying. You know
how you really feel.
I was so fucking. Well, I looked into it like when we lived in our last place and I was like, fuck this. I'm going to make my own fucking rain collection, whatever. And I did. And it didn't work out super great, but it was very like janky, like not that great. But I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. And I got some stuff, but I
should be legal. Really silly. But just double check before you put out a big ass rain collection barrel and you have an HOA who decides to fine you for having it.
God.
So like, just double check. Okay.
Anyway,
rainwater is a naturally soft water. It contains low concentrations of calcium and magnesium. It's free of chlorine and fluoride. It's great. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
We do have to say, you know, it can be hard to collect in areas with low precipitation levels.
Yeah.
So if you live, you know, in the desert in New Mexico, it might be a little bit harder for you to collect rainwater easily.
Yeah.
It's also not as feasible for apartment dwellers or people in super populated urban areas.
Yeah.
I keep mentioning houses and HOAs. There's just a lot more space to do it. So it can be a lot harder to do on your balcony. And honestly, also in high urban areas, rainwater is naturally acidic and when collected in areas with high manufacturing, can be acidic due to pollution and can even cause acid rain. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
But totally can happen. It's really possible for shit to end up in your rainwater if the water that's literally condensed into clouds is gross to begin with.
Yeah. And again, I'm not somebody who would drink rainwater. We're not talking about drinking rainwater in this sense. We're talking literally about just using it for your plants.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who would not drink this, but I'm totally fine with, cause we live in Denver. Like, I am not somebody who has looked into how acidic our rain is here. I really don't know, but I'm not going to chance it
because I'm happy with my filtered water.
Exactly.
But for the plants, rainwater might be great.
Yeah, exactly. And then last but not least, let's talk about bottled water. So we understand bottled water is really not great for the environment because it comes in plastic water bottles, right? So not great for the environment. However, if you use that water bottle and just keep refilling it and, you know, taking it to your water refill station, like, I can see it being fine, but it can add up if you're just constantly using
bottled water.
Exactly. Like going out and buying a Dasani and being like, here you go, little cactus. Like
every time you water your cactus. Gosh,
I mean, holy shit. How much money do you have? And can you give me some? Like, please, for the love of God. But bottled water, again, like a lot of homes have bottled water because maybe they don't like the taste of their tap water. Maybe they have hard water. So having bottled water is not necessarily a bad thing. And again, you know, I'd rather somebody have water than worry about a piece of plastic going out into the universe. Like, I'd rather you have water. Okay. That's, to me, more important. But as far as your plants goes, depending on the natural mineral content, it can be labeled spring water or mineral water, which again is really great for our plants. It can have stuff like calcium. It can have magnesium, which we kind of mentioned before. They don't have those nasty contaminants like chlorine and fluoride. So
it is pretty good for your plants.
It's good for your plants.
Is it practical?
Is it not? No. No, I mean, no.
It's going to add up real fast.
Really fast.
But if your partner bought themselves a bottle of water and then left it on the counter for 3 days and now nobody's drinking it, go water your fussy plant with it. It's going to love it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to real?
Yes.
Because I've like totally been there.
I love that. Yeah, I've done that before. Or like done it with like a bush or like a tree outside. Oh, yeah. It's like, here you go, Fran. This isn't really doing a whole lot for you right now outside. No,
and then I'll try and keep them. Like if you look up, I've got like, I have a Fiji water bottle somewhere.
Yeah.
I have this water bottle here and I have two jugs up there.
Yep.
And I'll just like keep them for a disgusting amount of time.
I have my distilled jug from like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my move, I still kept it.
That's like, I can't spend money on a watering can because I just have these jugs everywhere. It's like, why do I need a watering can?
Yeah.
Is that silly?
Well, I feel like, let's talk about watering cans for a second. So like with watering cans, and we're going to get into this too, you need to like water towards the base of your plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like with a lot of your like frilly tropical plants, you got to kind of get in and it needs like a long gooseneck.
Yeah, it does help.
So I tried the jug thing and like I was just getting water fucking everywhere and it was really messy for
me. That makes sense.
So I feel like in my case, I need like a gooseneck watering can, but I can totally see like just using normal jug life.
Me watering a big like euphorbia amok in the living room.
I got pretty big jugs.
Oh my God.
I love us.
Jug life.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, let's talk about how to water.
Yeah, there is a right way.
There is a right way. There is a wrong way. Sorry, not sorry. In general, while you may be concerned about what type of water to use on your plants, like all we just fucking talked about, you need to be just as concerned about how you are watering your plants, how much water you're doing, how often you're doing it, the quality of water. Like all of that needs to be totally the same level of what type of water you're using. So you should never overwater your plants. Underwatering is kind of like best case scenario. When you're overwatering, you're poor plant is just sitting in this wet environment and they need a lot of oxygen. They need to dry out quickly. For most plants, I would say, 80% of common house plants. That's what they kind of need. Mostly, I would say most plants want to dry out entirely in between waterings. Some you can kind of have maybe 25% still slightly damp or wet, or some water left in there. But again, each one is different. It's going to really depend on how much light it's getting, how much humidity it's getting, all these key factors, and how often do you water your plants?
Every week I look over everybody and water everybody that needs it.
Okay.
Which is maybe 75% of them each week.
For sure. Now, would you say over the year your watering schedule or how often and your frequency changes?
Yeah, totally. Over the summer I'm checking a lot more and over the winter I'm checking a lot less.
For sure.
But now that I added a grow light and a heat mat, I'm checking pretty often just because everything is growing so regularly.
Yeah.
I'll also peek in on the Hoya more often. They tend to need it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I will say it's a lot easier to underwater, see that the plant is underwatered and course correct than it is to overwater and course correct. Once you overdo it, it's really hard to take it back. And once she rots, she rots. Same with underwatering. If you underwater and the plant starts to show signs and then you continue to ignore it and leave it underwatered, you can literally fry the root system. It'll dry out so much that it won't absorb water anymore. And that's pretty common with a lot of house plants.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I feel like overwatering is the detrimental thing. And also overwatering causes that fungus that fungus gnats love.
Yeah, totally.
So that's how you get fungus gnats, is you're stressing the plant out and then overwatering, and it's just living in this wet, yummy area for fungus gnats. It's disgusting. So I don't know. I also go by weight too. So I'll check the plant and I'll lift it if it's small ones. And I'll be she's kind of light, I'm going to water her.
I almost always go by weight.
But I feel too, a lot of people are I'm going to water every 6 days. And that's my schedule. And it's
Or even worse, their app will tell them they need to water every 6 days.
Yeah.
And they'll be the plant looked really dry, but my app told me to wait a couple more days. And it's why would you listen to the app and not the plant? The plant's telling you it's thirsty.
Yeah, I think it's a good starting guideline for sure. Kind of learning about your plant. But going forward, I don't think it's anything to really be solid on all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
If your plant is looking thirsty, or if it's really bone dry where the soil's wicking away from the side of the pot, she needs a drink.
A really good drink.
Yes. And you're supposed to fully saturate the soil. So I made this mistake in the beginning of my Planned Parenthood. I would just be trickle, trickle.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. And I was watering probably every day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so much work.
I'd get home and I'd be okay, trickle, trickle. I'll see you tomorrow. And that's why they were just dying, and I had so many fungus gnats because of it. It was so awful.
Aww.
I was just trickle, trickle. No, no.
A good soak.
Good, fully, all the way through soaking.
Yeah. Let's go piece by piece because you totally describe it. So we're going to start with oxygen.
Yes.
And it seems silly, but when you overwater, you're literally drowning your plants. Yep. They need oxygen as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you're planting them in really aerated soil. It makes such a big difference. Avoid soggy soil. The reason everybody shits on Miracle-Gro is because it retains a ton of moisture. It is wet out of the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is
it literally, I don't know, but it is happening? Literally wet out of the bag.
Oh, there's wait, can we, wait, wait, wait.
There's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
Literally, Miracle-Gro is the monster.
Literally, oh my God. So it's a lot. And when you plant your plants in there, there's no oxygen getting to the roots because it's packed in this dense, moist mess of a mix.
Yep.
It's really bad. So it makes a really big difference to add aeration, which you can do even with just some perlite. It doesn't take a lot. Just make sure that oxygen can get in there. Oxygen content is going to be higher in cool water compared to warm water, and is higher in water containing fewer dissolved minerals. So that's important to know when you're watering. Additionally, fresh rainwater will generally have higher oxygen levels than any other form of water, which is pretty cool. Stunted root growth or signs of root rot are the markers of insufficient oxygen in the soil.
Yep. Like, there's just drowning. Like we talked about.
Mm-hmm. So next up is temperature. You got this?
Yeah. So I know we talked about earlier with setting our watering cans out, and that's great, but it's really great for making your water room temperature. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure the water is not too cold. And that's especially important for our tropicals, right? So those calatheas, ficuses, orchids, philodendrons, they're really, really sensitive to cold water. So somewhere between like 62 to 72 degrees is perfect. And it has what's called dissolved oxygen for the plants. So that's really, really great for it to intake that dissolved oxygen through the water, through its roots.
Yeah, this means we don't agree with watering orchids with ice cubes.
Oh my God, they are not cocktails.
Don't do it. Not cocktails. Don't add ice.
Don't add ice. We need to put that on a shirt. Oh, copy. We're claiming it. Claim it. Don't steal it from us. Claim.
Oh my God.
So then, okay. So at lower water temps, the pump mechanisms in the roots aren't triggered and it limits the absorption of water and the nutrients. And it can also trigger dormancy. And it makes the plant think it's like fall, winter time. And once a plant is like, oh, it's dormant, time going night-night. Like,
yeah, you can't just wake it back up.
You can't wake it back up with like a room temp water. It's going to take a longer period of time. It could potentially die because of that, because it's not really supposed to be dormant. So
room temperature water is great.
Oh, it's perfect.
Don't water with the filtered water straight out of your fridge that's freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, I don't know, go to make yourself a tea and then not make it. I don't know. Don't use super hot water either. That had no sense.
I had somebody ask that. I remember in a group, they're like, should I use like boiling hot water? And I was like,
no.
What?
No, don't do it. You'll literally burn. I mean, the same way you would burn yourself.
Yeah, that's like intense. That's intense.
That's intense.
Anyway. We're looking out for you.
As for what time you should be watering your plants, definitely, definitely recommend watering your plants in the morning. I would say this goes for misting as well. If you're going to mist your plants, not as good as a humidifier, but do it in the morning. The reason is your plants don't want to like sit in wet, soggy soil all night. And yeah, the sunshine really helps them dry off and helps all the foliage and flowers dry off.
Yep.
Without causing any bacterial infections or anything gross that could be happening overnight.
Yeah.
So it's best to water in the morning. That being said, there's still plants, so water when you have time.
Yep.
They're going to appreciate some water at night versus no water at all.
Yep.
And don't stress the small stuff. Like, yeah, water when you can.
Yeah.
But if you can make some time in your morning routine, they would love you for it.
Exactly. I feel like I'm 75 morning and 25 nighttime.
I think that's fair. I try to water in the mornings, but I also try to water everything by the end of my weekend. So it's like, if I have to finish at night, like I have to finish at night.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, like I might not have time the rest of the week to get to it. And then I don't want to have to deal with a dead plant like and miss a watering. So that's kind of like, I don't know. I haven't really seen with me watering at nighttime issues because I do the fully saturated soil and then I use really good aeration in my soil. I don't really stress. Yeah, I don't really stress about.
Yeah, I think the only issue I've had is I'll water a plant and leave it in a saucer and then like fall asleep. And I'll leave it in like a saucer full of water. It'll be overwatered by the morning. So, you know, don't leave them soaking and fall asleep on the couch.
I do that all the time, though. I will like have my pothos. So I like all my hanging plants, I water them one at a time in the sink. And I will leave it in the sink in the water like a whole day. And I'm like, bye, bitch.
Whoops.
Like, and it's totally fine. Like, nothing's happened yet.
Pothos
like,
are amazing.
They are amazing.
Yeah.
They
are. My cacti are like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's awesome. I can see the cactus being like, get it off me.
So how often should we be watering these plants? Are you going to give us an easy blanket answer?
Hell no.
Of course not.
No. Well, like, again, like we were saying before, check your plants. They, like, you will get to know your plants over time. You will get to know their needs. You know, obviously, like, when they are more aerated and you are doing a fuller saturation, they might dry out a little bit quicker, mm-hmm. and that's totally fine. They're not sitting in water. If they're light, like I check all my small babes and I'm like, yeah, you're light, or the soil is like wicking away from the pot, like
mm-hmm.
water and fully saturate the soil until you see water coming out of the drainage hole into the saucer.
And even then I like to let it sit for 5 or 10 mm-hmm. minutes in the water so that it yep. soaks back up whatever it needs.
Yep.
And then I move it over. And that way you know that it is as saturated as it can be. As long as you're using the right soil mix, that should be okay.
Yep.
Like it should be good for the plant.
I never dump out my saucers. I just am like, I can't be bothered. I used to be like, oh, I need to get like a turkey baster and fuck it all up.
Oh my goodness.
Like I was like.
The effort.
Yeah. I had more time on my hands, I guess, somehow. I don't know how I did, literally like if you have time, great. But like Jillian said, like they'll be totally fine if you just like let them sit for a little bit, especially if they're in terracotta. Terracotta mm-hmm. absorbs all that extra water yep. anyway. Whether it's within 5 to 10 minutes, it's still going to absorb it over time pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say one of the most important tips is to feel the weight of it. I say this to people all the time at work and they're like, they always look at me like I'm crazy. It really does help to just pick up your plant every few days. Yeah. So when you're asking how often, like as soon as you saturate your plant and pick it up out of the sink and put it back where it goes, you can feel how heavy it is.
Yep.
And over the next few days, over the next week, you're going to feel it get much, much lighter. And each plant is going to want to be watered at like a different weight. And you'll get to know based on how the plant looks when it's going to need water.
Yep.
I don't know. It's super helpful, especially for smaller plants.
I agree. Cool. Well, then let's talk about, are you a top or a bottom?
Do you butt chug?
What the fuck?
You wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready for that. What the fuck, Jillian? Butt chug? Ew.
That's what were you doing to your plants.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Okay. So do you bottom water or are you a top? Are you a bottom or a top?
Oh, I'm a little bit of both. You know, it depends on the mood. So, okay, honestly, I typically will top water, but then I'll leave stuff in a saucer to soak up
mm-hmm.
whatever else it needs, okay. which is technically the basis for bottom watering.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a little bit of both to make sure that it's fully saturated.
Yeah.
But overall, I just water from the top. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything that's finicky enough to give a shit if I soak it, and I usually water in the morning.
Okay.
So it's pretty okay, especially with stuff like cacti. Not a huge deal.
Yeah, agreed.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Again, like I mentioned, all my hanging babes are bottom watered. I take them to the sink. I have a lot of big pots, so I don't feel like bottom watering is helpful. But because like by the time it's in the saucer or I put it like, let's say I put it in the bathtub and I'm like soaking all these up at the sink, I just like, I don't feel like it's a good enough thorough watering in my opinion for me. And I don't feel like it's so much work for me and I don't want to do that work. And it's just easier for me to take a watering can around and let it soak up the extra that comes out. But my hanging ones, I do definitely bottom water and it works out completely fine. And
okay.
I really like it for them, but
that's good to know.
Yeah. But see, terracotta is just so weird to be bottom watering. I don't know.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I feel weird about it. It works. Like, I know it works totally fine, but mm-hmm. like, I'm just like, I don't want it sitting the terracotta like full, like up with the water. I don't know.
I mean, at least at work, I do bottom water begonias and calatheas
mm-hmm.
just because their foliage does kind of hate any moisture.
Yeah.
And so it's easier to just kind of set it and forget it since we have a big shower that we use to water everybody.
Let's talk about showers for a second.
Yeah.
Do you shower with any of your plants or have you ever showered with any of your plants?
We usually have a bathroom plant.
Okay.
So we have a fern that lives in the shower with us.
Okay.
But I don't take any plants on field trips to the bathroom. I know that's what you meant. Don't even laugh.
Okay. Fair. I used to, but come summertime, because they've all grown so big that I kind of need to get them in there.
It is a lot easier to water in the shower.
It is. And two, like, it's not all the time. It will be just when they just need a good dusting and getting, like, possible pest off and pest prevention and just kind of, like, replicating the rain falling on them.
Yep.
I think just a few minutes and I'll be fine, like, once a month during summertime. And
totally.
I think that's going to be, like, I'm going to try and do that more.
Yeah, especially for babies with a moss pole, because then you can, like, saturate the moss pole properly.
Oh, my God, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it
helps.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about some resources. So there are amazing, you could Google this. Like, there are really great resources to find out there about where your water is at in your county and in your area.
You can really narrow down on it.
So first one is www.ewg.org/tapwater. You can just plug in your zip code and it will pull up all the water areas within that your zip code, and it will tell you exactly the contaminants. Is it hard water? Is it soft? It will tell you everything. It's pretty cool. The other one, and this is kind of a long address, but it's at the website epa.gov. EPA stands for, it's the Environmental Protection Agency of the U.S. And it is the, we'll link it below. It's a long website, but it will have listed all of these really great online resources to find out exactly what's going on with your water. So really awesome resource to really narrow down. And that way you're not just using, again, one resource. Hi, English major. We want to have a lot of different resources and really collect as much information as possible. And that way you can really narrow down exactly how much chlorine and kind of like get an average possibly. So awesome resources. So that's, I mean, yeah.
You can go find out what kind of water you have.
Yeah.
Get to know your plants a little better, what they look like when they're thirsty, what kind of soil works with the water. And
it's contaminated.
It's contaminated. It's from signs dying.
I know, because he leaves cups of water everywhere. I was like, we have to incorporate him. He's so funny.
Well, that's water. We're all thirsty. You look dehydrated. Your plants look thirsty. Go do some watering.
Yeah, go get a drink, bitch. Like, have some water.
Get your skin in order. All that good stuff. Your nails, your hair.
Take a sip. You're glowing.
Yes. Ah, yes. I love it. Well, let's do our small business shout out of the week.
I feel like I always go first. Who are you shouting out this week, Madison?
I'm going to shout out Adorned By, I think it's Adorned By Chi or Chai. I think it's Chi.
Yes. Oh, I love that shop.
Yes, it's so good. So I got a shirt for Christmas from them, and it's the black long sleeve that says, I need space.
Mm-hmm.
And has like little planets on it. And I loved everything in their shop. It was like so hard to pick and choose like what I fully wanted. But that's like, I feel like very representative of the times. And they just make really cool artwork. And it's fun to follow their page on Instagram. Yeah. So Adorned By Chi.
It's so cute and happy and like pastel. And
yes.
Yeah. I love it.
It's really
That's a
cool.
good one. Okay. I wanted to shout out Brown Sisters.
Okay.
And their Instagram is Brown Sisters TP. And we'll make sure to tag them. But they just released a new collection of earrings and I want all of them. So that's really why I'm shouting them out. Nice. They're beautiful. They're basically just bits of plants in resin.
Oh, yeah. I love
for really beautiful earrings. Oh. It's so pretty.
I love those.
And they're
styles.
Two like Latina sisters living in California, which, you know, we love. So yeah, super great shop. So,
yay. Well, wonderful. Well, you guys, you can find us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Patreon. We're on TikTok. We're on YouTube. We're all at Two Girls, One Plant Podcast. You can also follow our personals, Adam Using Plants and just Pups and Plants. And yeah, go join us on Patreon. It's fun. It's a good time.
We
got
some
stuff posted on there, kind of exclusive behind the scenes, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, go to our website. It's twogirlsoneplant.com. Check out our shop. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting?
I don't know. We're fucking everywhere. We're taking over.
True.
Oh, thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
fun.
It.
Yeah, this is a good episode. Fun episode. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.